Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Are you grateful that Jesus paid the price for all your sin and washed all of our sins away by His precious blood? And now He remembers them no more. Well, we've been saved too long, brothers, sisters. He remembers our sin no more. Glory to His name. I'm always a little anxious before I get up to preach. I still have butterflies when I get up to speak. And that's because of the weight that's, you know, the eternity is hanging in the balance for some. Just every time you get up to preach somewhere. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on out there about certain doctrines and that kind of thing. But I want to tell you what we've got to go on is what this book says, what the Scripture says, what the Word of God tells us. This is all we've got, and it's enough. It's why we believe what we believe. It's why we behave the way we behave. It is our authority for practice and belief. Amen? And so tonight, having said that, I want to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of talk out there about what the baptism of the Holy Ghost is, who's got it, Now, y'all know I was born Baptist. Okay? I was in my mama's womb when she was in the Baptist church is what I'm talking about. And I've been Baptist all my life. But as y'all can tell, I don't... Dwight, what's a Baptist supposed to act like? I've been called Bapticostal for a long time. And it's just because I'm passionate, I'm emotional, that's who I am. But and I preached in a lot of different venues and a lot of different places. And I'm so thankful that there's only one church, by the way. There's only one church. And I'm looking forward when God's church finally gets home and we'll all be together. But I've had people ask me, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Have you got, hey, Brother Cal, it sounds like you've got the Holy Ghost. Yes. Y'all with me? And, you know, and so... there's a lot of stuff out there that I think is understood, and some of it's misunderstood about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of folks think that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a second work of grace. It's a second blessing, if you will, that comes after salvation. And when I was a young kid, Kevin, out at the Rainbow Roller Rink, I had a preacher who came up and scared me to death. And he said, you don't have to be scared of me. He said, I've just got the Holy Ghost. He said, matter of fact, I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then what he did next scared me to death. And so I didn't know what to think about all that. But what I want us to look at tonight is to take a fresh look at what the Bible says about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everything we believe has to line up with what the Bible says. Our experience does not take precedence over what the Scripture says. Vice versa. Scripture, experience, all of that has to tie into what the Word of God says, right? Y'all with me now? Okay. So the Word of God determines and interprets our experience. We should always give priority to what the Word of God teaches. And so we don't interpret our experience. We don't interpret the Scripture through our experience. We interpret our experience through the Scriptures. I've already said a mouthful. Are y'all with me so far? Okay, let's look at this. Now, first of all, I want us to look, and we're going to look at a lot of different Scriptures. So if you've got a good Bible with you, you need to be, you know, getting your fingers ready to roll. So let's look at the testimony of Scripture first. And Matthew 3:11, let's start there. Now this is John the Baptist speaking, okay? He was the forerunner of Christ. And he had the responsibility of preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. Y'all with me so far? 400 years had passed since a prophet had a word for the children of Israel. Been 400 years since a God-ordained prophet had spoken to the nation the word of God. What a dry spell. 400 years. Can you imagine? And so this crazy-looking, long-haired, locust-eating prophet shows up by the name of John the Baptist. And and he emphasizes over and over again in his ministry that Messiah was coming and he was preparing the hearts for the people. Now look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." You remember what John was preaching? Basically, he's preaching repentance. He's preaching forgiveness of sin. And so he was one of those hellfire and brimstone. He's one of those get right or get left. You know, he's one of those. And the sign that you had received his message of repentance was what? Water baptism. That's right. So John came and he had a message of repentance. And he said, "But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry." So he says, the Messiah is coming. And I'm not worthy to even untie his shoes for him. And he says, here's what he's going to do. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So right there is the prophecy of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He says, when Messiah comes, he is going to baptize with Holy Spirit fire. Y'all with me so far? Now, all of the gospel accounts give this. Look at turn to Mark. Turn to Mark. I want you to see it all coming together here. Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. Matthew, Mark. Chapter 1 and verse 8. If you're there, say amen. "I indeed baptized you with water, but he," who is he? That's right. "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." So pretty much the same thing. You don't hear about the stuff about fire, but when the real man shows up, when the real Savior shows up, he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now, look at Luke chapter 3 and verse 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke 3 and verse 16. I tell you what, let's back up to verse 15 because it makes more sense if you read that one. Luke chapter 3 verse 15 says, "Now as the people were in expectation and all reason," what are they expecting? That's right, they're looking for the Messiah. As the people were in expectation and all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered saying to all, "I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John says there's one coming, and he will be baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Now look at John's gospel. John chapter 1 and verse 33. Now John's gospel talks about John the Baptist in the first chapter here, about him being the forerunner of Christ and who he is and what he's been doing. And then verse 27 in John 1 says, "It is he who coming after me is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan where John was baptizing." By the way, if you go into Israel with me, we're going to be in that very spot. Oh, wow, that sounds interesting. All right. All right. Now look what John says. The next day, in verse 29, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He's pointing to Jesus. Here he is. He's the one who you've been looking for. And here's what he's going to do. Verse 32, "And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained on him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." And so, who was it that was supposed, when he got here, was supposed to baptize with the Holy Spirit? That's right, the Lord Jesus. Y'all got it. No one, however, really knew what this meant. What does it mean that he's, John says, "I'm baptizing with water, but this cat's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit." Now, I'll talk more about that as we go on tonight. But no one really at that time quite understood what John was talking about, although they were, most everyone, after John pointed to Jesus, they realized Jesus was the Messiah and not John. Okay? And so the plot begins to thicken. Jesus has now shown up, and John tells everyone he's the one that's going to be baptizing with the Holy Spirit, but no one's getting baptized with the Holy Spirit. I mean, for 3.5 years, we don't hear about anyone being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't hear about it. And then finally, one day, Jesus goes back to heaven. Y'all with me? Flip on over to Acts. Acts chapter 1. Whoo, this is good. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It had been 40 days since Jesus had gone back to heaven, right? And he's sending the disciples. You go wait for me in the upper room. And that's where that's. Verse 4, "And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for" what? "The promise of the Father." What's the promise of the Father? "The coming of the Holy Spirit." Remember that? "And he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so he tells those disciples, "You go wait. I'm going back home." And then what he had talked about in John 14 and John 16, "I am going to send someone like me, another helper, a comforter, someone who is like me, but not me." But as we learned last week, the Holy Spirit is God. And he is the Spirit of Jesus, Romans 8 and verse 9. And so everything that Jesus was doing, the Spirit, when he would come, was doing what Jesus was doing, except on a much larger basis, because the Holy Spirit can be everywhere. Right? All right. So Jesus equates the baptism to what the Father had promised and what they had heard from him. So that's what he's referring to. Now, let's jump back to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. John 14. We read this last week. Are y'all staying up with me? John 14, verse 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another," here it is, "Parakletos, helper, that he may abide with you." How long? Whoo, thank God for the Spirit. "The Spirit of truth." Now who is Jesus? That's right, he's the truth. "Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." And so his followers were to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the baptism, the coming of the Holy Spirit. This would be the day, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when he came to baptize the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. That would signify that the Spirit of God had come. All right? Now let's go back to Acts. I know we're hop, skipping, and jumping, but I've got to do this so this will come clear for you in your mind. Look at Acts chapter 2. Well, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14 first. Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So the 120 disciples are upstairs in this upper room, probably John Mark's mother's house in Jerusalem, and they've been praying for 10 days. Pentecost has now come. It's been 50 days since Jesus has been gone. Okay? 10 days earlier, Jesus had told them, for 40 days he showed them miracle after miracle after miracle. And so he's been gone 10 days now, right? Pentecost has come, the big Jewish festival. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it, what's that next word? Filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all, what's that next word? Filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, capital S, gave them utterance. All of those 120 were filled by the Spirit of Almighty God. Why doesn't it say that they were all baptized with the Holy Spirit? Isn't this what Jesus promised? I mean, isn't this what he told them that they were to go and to wait on? Isn't this what the Father had promised? Isn't this what Jesus had talked about, the coming of the Holy Spirit? Isn't this what John predicted? Fire. He will baptize with Holy Spirit and fire. Absolutely. These new believers, these were not new believers. These were already believers, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But they were all baptized, filled, and indwelt with rivers of living water. I better give that one to you. John chapter 7. You don't have to go there. I'll get it for you. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And so these believers were all baptized, filled, indwelt with the Spirit of Almighty God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all describe these terms kind of interchangeably to describe the initial coming of the Holy Spirit. These terms are all one in the same thing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everybody with me? Now in Acts 2 and verse 41, "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Now, it's very interesting. They had received forgiveness of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit simultaneously. Look what Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says. "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive' what? The gift of the Holy Spirit." So see, we're talking about one and the same thing now. And so Peter's response reveals that all that needed to be done to receive the Holy Spirit from here on out was to be saved. Now we have said a mouthful already, but what I want you to understand tonight is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the way I read and understand the Bible, okay? And when the Spirit of God came, he filled those believers. And from that point in time on, anyone who heard the message of the gospel, whether it was in their language or their language spoken in another tongue, when they received the God, when they heard the word and received the gospel by faith, they were baptized. Their sins were forgiven, and the Spirit of God saved them and came to take up residence and indwell their spirit. If you've been saved, your sins were forgiven, And the moment you trusted Christ, right then, you were justified. Billy talked about this 2 weeks ago. You were justified, made right in the eyes of God. You have standing before God tonight positionally. And Jesus looks at you now as if all of your sins have been washed away. That's the way He sees us tonight. And then the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit came to take up residence in your life. That's the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And after Acts 2:38, all that needed to be done from here on out was to receive the Holy Spirit, was to be saved. Look at Acts chapter 11. We're going to look at several different instances. Things are going on with the Holy Spirit with different groups of people. And I want you all to see this. I want to be true to the text, okay? Acts chapter 11, verse 15 and through 18. Now, you've had some Gentiles saved at the house of Cornelius. Y'all say Cornelius with me. That's a Gentile name. And so you've got these Gentiles that have been saved and been born again. And so look what happens now. Acts 11, verse 15. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them as upon us at the beginning. Now this is Simon Peter speaking, okay? Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see people getting saved and the Holy Spirit coming upon them and filling them and indwelling them at the moment of salvation. If therefore God gave them the same gift as He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. That's your kinfolk. Y'all not Jewish, y'all are Gentile. I don't guess, is there a Jewish person in the flock tonight? All right, so you can say amen to that. Amen. Now, and so Gentiles have now repented of their sin and by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ, and they have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it all goes together. But now, what about those 120? They were already believers. I get that. The Bible teaches us that. But the Holy Spirit, remember Jesus had said, the Holy Spirit will not come unless I go away. And so those 120 were already saved. They were already men and women of faith, but now they had been filled also by the Holy Spirit. Now you got these Gentiles that have been filled by the Holy Spirit. And then look at Acts chapter 8. You've got some Samaritans. Look what's going on up here in Samaria. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 4. How many deacons we got in here? Ordained deacons. Throw your hand way up. We got several ordained deacons here. Amen. Philip was an ordained deacon who just happened to be who the Lord used and turned him into an evangelist, a great preacher. Verse 4, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now, what kind of relationship was there between Samaritans and Jews? And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did, for unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Now, look at this. Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Verse 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. So the Samaritans had been saved and yet had not received the coming of the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So now you've got the 120, you've got Samaritans, you've got the Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit has all come upon them. And they have been born again and saved. And so we're talking now about the ministry of baptism of the Holy Spirit. That signifies that a man or a woman has put their trust in faith. Look at 1 Corinthians. Maybe it'll come clear for you here. 1 Corinthians. I don't hear pages. 1 Corinthians 12. Look at verse 13. For by one Spirit... Are y'all with me? 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. And so we were all baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you got that? Now look at Ephesians 4. Woo, we're having some kind of Bible study tonight. Ephesians 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one, one baptism. One baptism. And that those terms are used interchangeably, the filling of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit. But when the Holy Spirit came, everyone who had received Christ was baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. And isn't it a wonderful thing to belong to the body of Christ? Now there's one other, and I debated about whether to share this with y'all, but it's in the Bible, so... And we've got time, so there's one passage of Scripture that really tends to bring in some confusion. Look at Acts chapter 19. Now, at the end of the sermon tonight, I'm really gonna say some things that you won't hear most Baptist preachers say. Okay, but I want you all to know where your pastor stands, and so hang in with me. All right, okay. All right, chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. So y'all got the picture there? Paul's he's come to Ephesus and he sees some followers, some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." There's a lot of church folks like that today. He said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." See, they didn't even know that the Messiah had yet come. Isn't that amazing? We're talking about several days later here. Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now, the men were about 12 in all. And so, what had happened at Pentecost demonstrated God's desire to put an end to the delay of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Gentiles had received the Spirit of God. The Samaritans had received the Spirit of God. The Pentecostal believers up in the upper room had now received the Spirit of Almighty God. And now these 19 had received it. But from this point in time on, anyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ, who repents of their sin and trusts Christ by faith, immediately they are baptized. They are baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. They receive the Holy Spirit. Are y'all with me? And that still happens today. And that's what we're talking about. So next time somebody asks you, have you been baptized by the Holy Ghost? Tell them, I got the Holy Ghost when I got saved. That's scriptural. What I've just read to you from many different passages of Scripture, there's one baptism, Ephesians 4 says. There's one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 says. There is one baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. And so, what's all this other stuff about? Well, let me clear this up. Now, this bunch in Acts 19 had to wait. Now, evidently, I don't know what had happened to them, where they'd been, but, you know, there's a lot of folks that, I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit. There's a lot of church members today that don't think there is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Or at least they hadn't tapped into it. Because that's why many of our churches are powerless. Because they have not turned total control of their life over to the Spirit of Almighty God. We talked about that last Sunday night. And so these men were followers of John, but they immediately prayed and became followers of Jesus. And Paul laid hands on them, and then they began, the Holy Ghost filled them, and they began to speak in other tongues. Now, and the waiting's over with. From this point in time on, there are no more. Every time somebody comes to faith in Jesus Christ, the 120 were already believers. These folks, you could say, were already believers. But from this point in time on, I mean, by the way, y'all do understand Christianity was a brand new thing in the book of Acts, right? I mean, nobody had ever written how to do church before. Okay? This is a brand new experience. And the Holy Spirit has now come, and I want to tell you, He's turned the apple cart and hell upside down. I mean, these disciples are now coming to people, different people's towns, and they're saying, oh no, here they come. Here come these guys that have turned the world upside down. I mean, now they've got Holy Ghost power, and they're able to do things that are amazing. And they turn the world upside down for Christ. And when you've been filled by the Spirit of Almighty God, you've got power. Power. Power to do what God's called you to do. And so they've been filled, they've been baptized, they've been indwelt, and they'd all placed their trust and faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit had come. Now, the Bible doesn't support the fact, in my opinion, that one group of believers has the baptism and another people don't. I don't believe that way. Here's what I believe. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm just, you know, y'all can get rid of me tomorrow, but I don't know how you're going to get rid of the founding pastor here. But I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I believe there are still people that are given the gift of speaking in other tongues. I think by and large it's used unscripturally today. But why in the world is there three chapters devoted solely to that in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14? And then other places. And so I believe that the gift of speaking in tongues is still viable. But I believe the Spirit of God gives it to... I've got a missionary friend who's out of Green River Baptist Church. He was our youth pastor many years ago. And he'd been our head missionary in Wales. His name's John Robinson. And you know how many languages this cat speaks? Eight. And if he got to reading a book on Chinese people, he'd have nine tonight. He's that kind of person. I believe he's got the gift of speaking in tongues. And I believe there's some other folks here in town. And why does God give John that gift? So he can get the gospel to people. I believe God's still doing that today. There's some godly people up at First Baptist Church that speak in other tongues. I didn't know that. Yeah. And you can call it a prayer language. You can call it whatever you want to call it. But I believe the Spirit of God, if it's in the Bible, it's still a viable gift. And I know the arguments and I know what all that's about. But if somebody has the gift of speaking in tongues, it doesn't mean that they've received a baptism that you don't have. It's just that the Holy Spirit has given them that gift and He hadn't given it to you. I think the reason He hadn't given it to me is because He knows I'd die of a heart attack. I'd be so overcome, you know. So anyways, that's where I am with that. And I wanted you all to know where I am with that. Are y'all okay with that? Well, if you're not, I'm sorry. But I think you're talking about two different things there. I don't believe one group of believers in the body of Christ has been baptized by the Holy Spirit and the other group hadn't. I think we've all been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And then the Spirit is the one who gives the gifts. And so I've got the modern day gift of prophecy. I've got that. And by the way, Paul said that's the most important gift. That's what he said. Go read the book. And he said, I wish y'all spoke in tongues like I do. But you don't. But he said the bigger gift is prophecy. Because then you can touch people with the Word of God. You know, and anyways, then you walk into a lot of churches and you hear all this chatter and stuff. And that's not glorifying anybody except self. Y'all with me? So that's why I say that gift today, by and large, is used very unscripturally. I'm glad there's not going to be a podcast tonight. Because my email file would be full before I got home tonight. Anyways, that's kind of where I am with all this. And you say, well, Brother Cal, what... There's nothing in the Bible about a second work of grace. I just can't find it. I've looked for it. Trust me. But if you've had some type of experience with the Lord and your prayer life is better, and you're bolder in your witness, you're more hungry for the Word of God than you used to be, you just can't wait to get to church with other believers, and God has enhanced your Christian experience, well, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Call it revival or whatever else you want to call it, but don't call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I don't believe it lines up with what the Bible teaches. And now, over the next few weeks, we're going to learn about the ministry, but I wanted to get this straight. How many of y'all have learned something tonight? Okay. Most of you. How many of you wish you'd stayed home? Don't answer that. And so we're going to learn over the next few weeks how the Holy Spirit convicts us, how He converts us. We're going to learn how He guides us. We're going to learn how He speaks to us. And have you ever wondered, is that God speaking to me? Well, we're going to talk about that over the next few weeks. How He leads us, how He teaches us. We're going to learn about His peace. We're going to learn about His comfort. We're going to learn about His gifts. We're going to learn about His provision and His wisdom. Oh, listen, I am so thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I can't wait to get to... I wish I could preach all these subjects tonight. But you're going to have to come back on Sunday night and bless God, bring somebody back with you. I told somebody up at a birthday party this afternoon that number one, they couldn't believe we were having Sunday night church. First, and then secondly, when I told them what I was preaching on, they really couldn't believe that. So tell somebody about what we're studying and what we're looking at on Sunday night and bring them with you. Because I don't know about you all, but I want everybody to have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want everybody to have what I've got. And in order to get that, you got to get saved. Now we looked at this 2 weeks ago. There are individual fillings of the Holy Spirit. And we're commanded to keep on continually being filled by the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18. There are daily fillings of the Holy Spirit. There are daily fillings of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to learn how to get that in this sermon series. Okay? But you got to be here. And we may drop the podcast so that we can get people to come. Anyways. Questions, comments, concerns? Don't normally do that. Yes. Uh-huh. You know, you had things going on in the book of Acts, like I was talking about, that early on in the New Testament church, and the laying on of hands, there does seem to be some type of special Spirit-filled impartation there. But once you get finished with Acts chapter 19, you don't see any of that happening anymore. And when we lay hands on people today, it may mean you're fixing to whip somebody. I don't know. But most of the time, when we're laying hands on people to pray over them, we're just saying, we love you, we support you, we're all about ministering to you, we're behind you, we testify. You ever been to a deacon ordination service? Well, that's what that's about. There's no Listen, God gives people the gifts that they need for ministry. And so there's no passing along of the gifts through the laying on of hands anymore. God already has gifted someone for ministry, and laying on of hands is just saying, totally agree with this. This man, this woman's equipped for ministry. It's a sign of support. Okay? Just like the gift of prophecy today, I believe. Now, God may give me a word for somebody, but for the most part, my gift is not foretelling, prediction telling. My gift is forthtelling, speaking truth into people's lives, okay, so that they can live it out in their life. But I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I do. I believe they're still viable, all of them, in some form, shape, or fashion. Or they wouldn't be there. Good question. If you're saved, you're going to get a gift. And He wants you to use that gift for His glory. You see, that's what was going on at the church in Corinth. They were the most gifted church you've ever seen in your life. But they were misusing the gifts. And instead of bringing God the glory with their gifts in Corinth, I'm getting the glory. And so Paul had to straighten them out. Corinth was a messed up church. That's another sermon. So any other questions about what we talked? I just want you all to be cool with what we're talking about when we're talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe that happens at conversion. And most of the time, well... I don't want to get ugly, but I believe in the gift of interpretation, and it's real. But most of the time, that I was at Life Point, been to church out there, and Brother Mike had told us, or he told me, I said, "What do you do about speaking in tongues?" He said, "Well, we had a lady that stood up, went to speaking in tongues in our service." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I shut it down. Because the scripture talks about one speaker at a time speaking. And then when there was no interpretation," David's right. He shut that down. And that's scriptural. But coming into a church house and you've got everybody, that's not scriptural. That's confusion. Matter of fact, Paul said, don't do that. Because outsiders will come in and be scared off. Yeah. Chapters 12, 13, and 14. There's three chapters in there about this stuff that we're talking about. All great questions. Now, there's a lot of folks that would disagree with what I've said tonight. And that's okay. We're not ever going to agree on everything. But I want to tell you, I've got Bible verses to stand behind what I've told you tonight. And whatever somebody tells you, ask them where that is in the Bible. Ask them where it is in the Bible. I got a good friend tonight. If he was here, oh, he'd be jumping up and down mad. But I just believe it's you don't do. I just can't believe that it blesses God to hear that in the body of Christ, you've got some folks in the body who are believers that have been baptized in somebody and some folks who hadn't. I'll never believe that. Because I believe all of us have received the Holy Spirit. Now, yes, you know, there are some believers who have turned more corners of their heart over to the control of the Holy Spirit than others have. Y'all with me there? I mean, I believe that. But I believe we've all been, you know, if you've been saved, you've been baptized by one Spirit into one body. And you don't need that to happen again. Everybody love me? If you hate me, you can come up and tell me afterwards and kick me in the shin like my nephew does. I love you guys. Thank you for coming tonight. Next Sunday night, we're going to start talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit. The passion of the Holy Spirit. Whew. I'm ready to preach that now. But we'll let that go. Father, thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for the soul that was added to the kingdom this morning. Now, we just need to keep seeing people saved, baptized, and indwelt by the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. And I want to thank you, Lord, that I believe you've set somebody in here free tonight. It freed me up to know that I wasn't some kind of second-class citizen in the family of God, to know that I had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that I was a believer, and that I had everything available to me that God had given me. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're the gift giver. And we just praise you tonight for who you are and what you continue to do. I'd ask God that you'd continue to lead us, guide us, and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. Sunday morning, let me give you a plug for that. Read Joshua 23 and 24. We're going to end up the book of Joshua. And you know, Joshua 24, Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So that's going to be Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, we're going to be talking about the fire of the Holy Spirit. It's going to be a great Labor Day weekend next Sunday at Second Mile Church. Can't wait. Hallelujah! All right. This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.